Hello and welcome to episode 4 of the Bogey Boys podcast. Not liking me intro, are you?
It's good.
Yeah.
It's good. We're going to get some intro music done.
We are, yeah.
Because
watch this space.
We can't have you doing that every week.
No. I'm trying to perfect it.
Yeah.
Just see if we get it right. So we're joined today by our PGA professional, David Goscombe. Welcome, Dave.
Who we've been plugging. We've been plugging over the last few weeks.
He's our coach, isn't he?
He is, yeah.
Yeah. You seem to be
this
getting
just from this season, I've come down from 9 to 5.6, which is basically 5. And what have you improved or changed?
I started 5.0. I've played in 2 tournaments and I'm now 5.2. Thank you. And it just keeps getting worse. Although, we'll talk.
Yeah, but that's not David's fault.
No.
We just put that out there. Yeah. I go to the lessons, I go to the range, I work on what he's saying.
Yeah.
I improve.
And we'll get some good insight from him today, won't we, Dave?
I hope so, yeah. Especially from Kev's game.
So talking our games, you've come down quite a lot there then to 5.6. What happened?
Do you know what? I think there's a witch on for me at the golf club.
Go on.
Well, I come down, I shot 74 net, come down like 0.8. And then got a further exceptional, what was it called, David?
Exceptional score reduction.
For another 74?
Yeah, for another 0.5.
Who are you paying off at the club?
Honestly?
I said to him, that can't happen, because he asked me what will I come down. I was like, you'll come down.
No, he was going, no, you went.
You might buffer.
And I was like, buffer? I said, I'm looking at least coming down a few shots, like the standard scratch.
So what's the standard scratch there then for 74?
It was 77.
Yeah, so 300.
You cut 2 and you're not cut
1. That's 0.6.
I will be next week.
That's only 0.6.
And what have you come down total?
I can't have my maths shite.
It's come down like a 1.1 or something.
What's going on there?
honestly.
You are desperate to get to me, aren't you?
I'm glad to catch you up.
Yeah, but with the consistency, since I've been going for lessons with the PGA professional Formula Golf Cup, they've got phones.
Oh yeah, no, he's not giving bunks
to anyone. No. Which I get for free, by the way. I've only had one round where I've went up. Every other round I've come down, so maybe they've seen my exceptional play and give me an exceptional.
Well, would that work? And I don't know if you know this, Dave, would that work?
His name's David.
David or Dave?
David.
David. Yeah. Sorry, coach.
Do you even know this fella?
I've only known him like 20 years. Do you think maybe because this is Kevin's first year back, Kevin or Kevy?
Big dog.
Because it's his first year back, is it the case that because he's playing so well and shooting these low scores that there's a rule out there to make that assumption that he comes down more?
Well, maybe because I was a member before and I was off like 5 and 4 and stuff, like they've maybe cut me on that. Thought he's back now. He's had his little.
Yeah.
He's won his July medal.
It's called a handicap review. So over like a period of 6 scores, they can see that he's been shooting regularly, which can happen. But an exception score reduction is based on the score he shot on that day. So they've done him on that an extra bit. So it's one of them. It could be a bit of both. They've seen that.
We'll have to check his bank account and see where their bank transfers are going.
I think they're just. No one's asked at the minute because it's all changing in November, isn't it?
I'm going to explain this, right? So I played twice this week. I played on Friday. I got my ass handed to me 5 and 4 on my own course.
Yeah.
But whilst I was playing, there was a couple of good strikes there. And also, Dave, you might know this, right? So I'm going to show this to you, right? So my normal golf swing, and I felt like I was getting really steep.
Okay.
And also, I was watching John Ram on the telly. And see if he lays it off.
He's not comparing himself to John Rahm.
So, I don't know where we're going with this, but
listen, what I spotted was when he gets to the top, he really drops it inside, drops it, and then rips through it. So I got that feeling, and straight away, I didn't miss a shot.
Okay, so when you say you're getting steep, you felt, what was your chunk in it? Was your fat in it?
Duck hooking it.
Duck hooking it, that's not steep then, right?
No.
especially when we know what you're working on.
Yeah.
This is where we need
that
behind.
So it's more shallow and and flippy, basically. Yeah. So, but the dropping inside may help you with kind of getting a little bit more connected, but at the same time, it may have just been a more of a, I think I'm John Rahm, and you've started to
a bit of a rhythm thing.
Yeah, but yeah, we'd have to have a look at it, but that dropping inside, right elbow coming in, might help with it, but I don't think you were getting steep, definitely not.
Welcome back to your seat for anyone that's only listening. Mark's just stood up and actually started swinging in the living room there.
He became John Rahm for a second.
I actually thought I was John Rahm.
But anyway, I had an alright knocker. How did you get on this week?
Well, apart from the 5-4 battering, I actually, forget the first six holes on Sunday, I was 3 over par. For the rest, so what's that, 12 holes, 3 over par. I got 30 stable for points in total, but the way I played from hole 7 to 18, I was back, you know.
Are you still playing stable for with the Hacker Boys, are you?
Yeah.
I'm more of a medal man now. back to tea, if you're three off the tee professionals thinking
you
what
seen,
you're around.
You've seen me t-shirts
piecing it. No, but it's a different game, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
It's a different game.
If I have a bad t-shirt here, it's just a...
You're walking.
It's a blob.
Yeah.
We think about it in the next tee.
See, them six holes will always cause you a problem, haven't they, the first six?
Yeah, we talked about that in episode one.
I heard you talking about that, but I also then, when I listened and thought, I wonder whether he still plans his round out in his head.
He wrote a letter to the committee, that's why he got chopped down to a six-day member. He's took him down a peg or two.
Can the seventh be the first, just for me?
Please, sir.
But what he'd do, Kev, you must know this, he'd like, plan his round out, so... He should start with this and start with that, and then when he'd start the first six level par, but then when he'd be six over par, he'd do a new plan on the seventh tee and go like, well, what I'm going to do is I might be six over, but I'm going to go birdie the next, par the next, and then I'll birdie again, and that'll bring me back to one over. And be right, okay, Mark, so. And then 2 goals down the line.
Yeah.
Went double, and it'd be like.
Then it was 5 birdies in a row.
Then I'm doing 5 birdies on the spin. It was great.
Such a good impression of Mark, that. But the reason that David's here today is...
Yeah, so this is part one of a couple of parts in a series we're going to do about the professional route. So as you know, Dave's a PGA professional.
If you call him Dave again, right, he is going to do you in.
David, I'm getting the stare, aren't I? No, but the reason we've got him here, we're going to do a three-part series about the professional route. David, you've taken the teaching route, but that wasn't how you planned it in the first instance?
No. Not at all, no.
So, where did it all begin for you? What made you start playing golf? Like, when did you first pick up? How old were you?
Yes, do you know what? It was my dad. My dad played. My dad got me into it. I said, I can't remember whether he got me into it first or this happened first, but he took me to see the golf at Birkdale, the Open. It was 1998 when Mark O'Meara won.
That was Justin Rose and played as an amateur.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I remember seeing
was
Justin
he a
wanker
then as well?
your hate needs to stop.
He's just a bit of a punk.
No, he was a young woman coming, but he was a scruff. He was dressed like a scruff.
Yeah,
I remember that.
Remember there's going to be Maroonie Red. Baggy jumper, they all wore baggy clothes back then,
yeah,
I suppose, didn't they? So
even Tiger, you can't let him off with that.
Yeah, Tiger had his bag.
No, we let Tiger off.
But anyway, I got to sort of meet Tiger then, and that was my memory of what properly got me wanting to be a golfer.
Yeah.
So my dad got me like a half set from Olympus Sports in Aintree, Housen, I think they were, and that got me going.
DJ? Housen, the DJ 500 or something, wasn't it? The mate.
DG actually.
DG
your own brand.
Yeah, look, sort of like these clubs branded after you.
Yeah,
better make it.
Put your initials put on them.
Yeah.
He blagged me that, but yeah, and he got me some lessons at Aintree. Started out there and then took me playing. But it was the meeting of Tiger that was like, right.
That was your inspiration.
That's me, and that's why obviously I know you boys love Tiger as well. But our generation, age generation, I think Tiger's the one, but we've all got a little moment, I think, where we first got introduced to Tiger, and that was mine. So then that was it then. I joined Brutal Golf Club, just playing with my dad. Little old fella Vinnie Crummy come over to us on the first team and was like, oh, what's happening? And that got me to join, and then that was it. I think I was probably about Yeah, must have been on 10 then.
Do you remember your starting handicap? What was your playing?
Yeah, I remember it, yeah. Because I remember doing my cards and everything. And my dad turned around and said, listen, son, don't be expecting much. You know, it's not going to be this, not going to be that. My first handicap was 30.
30?
Yeah, he was what like, you won't be better than 36, and I got 30.
That'll be you soon, lad.
Hopefully. Yeah. Start winning a few competitions then.
Yeah, and then I think about, not long later, it was there was a competition. It was at, what was it, Southport Golf Club, the Muni. Sefton Open it was. And you can play in that, but you have to be off 28 to play in it. But they put me in it, so you've got to play off 28. So my dad was like, right, you're not going to be able to play off 28, but, you know, go and play, go and enjoy it.
Do your best.
Go and enjoy it, yeah. I shot 9 under off 28. When I was actually off 30 and won like my age group.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah. So then that was from there, like the handicap just tumbled and then.
That just powers you on then, doesn't it? Because then you believe that you're actually an half decent golfer.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
It's mad how much your golf, you got introduced to it all then. I remember like one of my really, when I was first getting into golf, playing with you and you were like the superstar of Bootle. Remember that day?
Yeah, so that must have
been. I was a Bootle at that time, so I don't know about Dave being the superstar.
Yeah, so Dave was a superstar.
Yeah, so
but
that just must shows, be like when
just
we
shows
15,
you
that. Yeah. Yeah.
You've been playing for like a
while. Yeah, so I've been there for like a while. And
yeah, I think. Vinny Crummy was still there though,
wasn't he? Yeah, Vinny Crummy was recruited as well, I suppose.
Yeah, what a man, yeah.
No, but yeah, so that's where I met Mark at Bootle, yeah. So
we all met,
to be fair, we did actually.
Nobody really liked you back then, though.
No, yeah. Kevin Bunclark, all the way, wasn't
I used to go and win comps and get used to being a cheat.
Yeah, well, you shouldn't have cheated.
No. Back to David, anyway.
Anyway, yeah, so that's how I got into golf, and then that's like where I kind of excelled from. I mean, Bootle was great, obviously, we all know it was a good laugh, and.
So what was next from Bootle then? Did you stay at Bootle?
No, Bootle went on to SNA again, where Mark went as well.
Southport and Ainsdale,
Southport and Ainsdale. Realised golf was a lot harder going there. Handicap went up quite quickly.
Yeah.
Which was good though, because you think you're better than you are, and then you go somewhere harder, your handicap goes up, and then you have to learn to be a better player.
Would you find it helped in other competition when you went and played anywhere else off that
handicap then? Yeah, massively.
You were competitive, yeah.
So all day long, yeah. You'd,
do you find the hell you?
Yeah, I used to actually be good at golf.
No, it does help, doesn't it? Play not even just the hardness of courses, but just the difference. Like if you play Formula and you play SNA regularly, and you go and play, like say Bootle, Kirby, like these other courses where the hazards aren't as bad, it helps your golf, doesn't it? You score better, you shoot better.
Yeah, 100%.
I
was a better player, so say I went to SNA off, I was off 3. By the time my first year was over, I was off 5.
But you're 5 better than your 3.
But then the next year, I was back down to 3, and I was, if I did say that I was at Bootle, at that ability, do you know what I mean?
It would be off
like
scratch.
It just makes you a better player for it. And obviously it's a better quality and everything about it's better, isn't it, really?
Yeah,
but it's great. You get more of a golfing background and a feel for what you could possibly do at a place like that, because there's a lot of other better good players and, you know, better opportunities.
Well, that's it as well. Obviously we're talking about you being a professional here and going through them sort of routes, but another reason that we started this podcast as well was to show people that you don't have to be paying thousands on clubs and memberships to be, like, we're talking as if we've got an audience of people who are maybe thinking about starting golf as well, that it doesn't cost that much. You can go to Bootle for like £10 or like get clubs for second hand, like we all started. It's not all bowling into these big high end clubs and that, do you know what I mean?
I think,
so that was another reason that we wanted to talk about on this, like, just mentioning.
Luckily for us as well, I think at that time it was like that, no one was getting into it, and then Tiger was on the scene.
Yeah.
Then I even remember you could get clubs from Poundland. I don't know if you remember that.
No.
Like I'd already got my, and a few of the other lads from school started getting clubs from Poundland. I was like, well.
And all your mates are getting involved, you've got someone to play with.
You can play golf while going to Poundland, do you know what I mean? But
yeah.
I think Tiger kind of brought that in, and everyone was just, the whole world was in awe of what was going on. Whereas previously it wasn't like that, and it was like if you.
Well, then probably, like, not even pre Tiger, but even now, some of my mates think, oh, I'm playing golf, it's expensive, that. And I'm like, well, not really, you can just go and get cheap clubs, and like, I can get your own phone bureau for £20, but it's not really, you're not up to that standard yet.
Yeah.
You need to go and like practice and stuff.
Yeah, it's what is it? It's £5-6 for 100 balls. You go to
that going to range, yeah.
You get a lesson.
But most people think you need, like, I've heard a few people say, I'm going the driving range, I haven't got a driver. And you don't need a driver. Yeah. Well, what? I'm going the driving range.
Not a driver.
Do you know what I mean? You need to start. And then that's where, like, going to, like, if anyone was listening, wants to start golf, going to see, like, David at Formula All. You get a lesson and you can build your game around that, and you go the range with something to work on. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, that's it. I mean, there's so many options and different routes to it as well. So
yeah,
you know, you don't have to be good at golf straight away. I think that's what puts people off.
Yeah,
they go and have a couple of shots in front of the mates or someone who does play a little bit, and it'll be terrible, and then you'll shy away from it.
Exactly, but you shy at anything the first time you do it,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, so exactly. Yeah. But yeah, so back to like the root. Obviously, that was just me butting in, sort of saying like the reasons behind, like a bit of meaning behind the podcast of like.
Yeah.
It's cheap. Like golf's cheap, man. For people coming up, really.
Saying there's avenues.
Yeah.
Everywhere. So cheap as a junior, the more we used to pay last night, about £120 for a year's membership.
Exactly.
Yeah. Probably not that far different now.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But.
Because they want the good golfers coming through.
That's it.
Yeah, get the young people in their club, yeah.
Everyone's obviously not young now, so you can start at least in life. You know, you've got all your munis to play as well.
Exactly.
It's accessible, basically.
Easy, yeah.
You know, definitely. So we talked there, in order to take the PGA professional route, there's an element of education for that, but you didn't start your PGA professional route to what old was your day?
I think I was probably about 21.
21, 21
yeah.
22
maybe, yeah.
So just talk us through from when you left school, then that 5-year period, what
yeah, so in that, from then, from what we talked about before, like go playing Bootle and going to SNA, then from then, Myers Go College, I went there at 16, thinking that was going to be the stepping stone to be like the next Tiger Woods, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anything golf that you could go into from there was new to me, so that was like, to know that there was a golf college was just like, wow.
Yeah, we're going
to
do a whole episode on Myers Go as well.
I won't go too much on about Myers Go, but that was kind of the step.
That's where we all re-met again, didn't we?
So we went there. I remember that's where I met up with Kev. It was Mark was a year behind, weren't you?
I'll never forget.
I've probably been at Myers Go for a week or two, and it was like, oh, come back. And I went back and played with Mark and another lad called Josh, and I played with them. And I probably hadn't done that much at Myers Go, a couple of lessons, whatever, and shot a good score.
Yeah.
I think I had like 18 pars and a bit, 17 pars and a birdie, and shot like one under.
These
two were like, that Myers Go's where you want to be, man. And then sure enough, a year later, Josh and Mark.
Josh, one of our main fans, isn't he, Josh?
Yes, Josh.
See, you might remember that. But yeah, no, that was a funny one to think, and then obviously they were both there then. It was good. It was a good time.
It was a good mix of people, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. So we do this one as like your PJ professional group, but then we will do a Myers Go episode where exactly what not to do.
So from there, that's when I realised that it wasn't open my golf. No, I wasn't jumping out of my golf. But I wanted to go to America then. So obviously, as you know, I got a scholarship to America. Done that. I think you followed me on that as well, didn't you?
I think I followed you. I haven't realised this before we've had this conversation, but we met at Bootle, I followed you to SNA, I followed you to Myers Go, and then
it's
followed you to
America.
It's all
becoming a little bit, next to go on here.
I might actually go to be PJ professional and follow you there.
But yeah, so I went to America.
Any jobs before me all?
Started a job there. But no, I went to America with the premise that I never wanted to become a teaching, you know, professional. I wanted to be a playing professional.
Yeah.
And in my mind, going to America was gonna only enhance that, because that's what Tiger done, and that's what
the college
college American scene was the thing to do, or seemingly, and then went over there. You know, it was really good, but what I wasn't expecting is the way their system works. It's the education side of things. Whereas at Myers Go, we were doing golf as education. There, you're doing like a, you know, you pick what they call a major, which I was majoring in business, but then you do English, maths, all that type of stuff, which I think you'd probably do if you were doing A-levels in this country. So you had that, and then separately, you played your golf, you went away to tournaments, you had like 2-3 day tournaments.
Was any of it like an overlap of what you'd already done at Myers Go, or was it a completely different setup from everything?
Yeah, do you know what? It wasn't. Because it wasn't golf related.
Yeah.
But so it was more kind
of
like what you do at the end of high school, then going into A level. So they, yeah. like you'd be doing maths, English literature, English language, and I was just not expecting
your
that.
Your core subjects, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah, I just wasn't expecting that. So it was a bit of an eye-opener there, because I'm having to do like a 2,000-word literature paper on bloody something that I just didn't really care about. I went to America to be a golfer, basically. Yeah. Dad would say, you know, it was getting you a backup on education as well, but at the point, you know, when you're 18 years old, going up to America on your own, you're not thinking about an education, you're thinking about, like, playing golf, do you know what I mean? So yeah. I'm sitting there, having to do exams and assignments or whatever it was on English literature, English language, it was just, that's what kind of got me down a little bit.
Yeah.
So it wasn't all as expected, but I think the American way of life was very much that way, and that's why that system works for them. But over here, if you're going into a profession, so if you're going to be a joiner, when you go to college to be a joiner, you just do joinery.
Yeah, you're not doing English maths.
Whereas my high school was great because you go in college, golf, right? It was all golf.
Yeah.
You wouldn't be doing an English or an exam in my high school. So that's where I think the American system's great, but that's the way they expect it to be.
If you're an American coming through that, you know what to expect.
Yeah,
it's down to the people that are getting you over there and getting you the scholarship, the agencies as such,
definitely, to make
sure that they're giving you that information so you know what to expect.
Yeah,
but I suppose this is the good thing about asking these questions now, because anybody out there who's wanting to try America and do that, this is what you can expect. So, from an education...
Well, people shouldn't be put off by that either.
That might...
Like, some parents, if anyone, like, was parents, was listening, or someone told that, like, the son was Oman and Aaron, and they're like, I'm going to America, like, going in frat parties and this and that. They're like, no, they're getting, like, they're hammering in on the education.
Yeah.
There's eligibility criteria as well, so if you're not performing in the classroom, you don't get to play in tournaments.
Yeah,
so what was the golf like over there?
Yeah, it was great. I mean, the courses are amazing, like, as we know anyway, just off telly and stuff, but... really good, but at the same time the standard of golf's really good as well, so you know,
playing against the best,
you're playing against, you know, the top people of your age basically. So England, the quality is great, but yet over there's a lot more, you know, you've got 50 states, you've got so much going on, so many people that are playing the game. And what I didn't realise back then, they probably realise now, is the Tiger effect was probably massive there too.
No, of course.
Not bigger.
Yeah.
So that was when I was 10. By the time I was 18, I'm at a uni in America. Then they're probably all going through the same path, but yet it's probably escalated even more for over there. So that's, at the time, it was just like every uni you looked at, oh, he's this, he's that. Do you know what I mean?
You hear about people before they even turn up, and you can see the different type of scores they've
had.
So you know the competition's going to be fierce.
Back now, I only found out the other week that at the same time I was there in tournaments I was playing with, Ricky Fowler was playing, and I remember them, you know, with the big cameras there and stuff like that, which is mad for university level golf, but yet obviously it's shown and that's where he is, and they all go through that route there.
They must have knew he was like...
So, that avenue for them is great. That avenue for you know, English players probably is still good, but yet I think it's just a bit of a culture shock in the fact that you've got to be more into your studies as well and keep that up. So as Mark said before, if you're not keeping like what they call the GPA, which is basically like keeping a grade C or better. Some places might say grade B or better.
Yeah.
Either way, you have to do that. So you could be ripping it, shooting 500 every week, but if you're not keeping that grade point average up, or your C or better, you're not playing.
Yeah.
And I've seen Coach Carter, like, really dropped
Shooters. Coach Carter,
he's got them all in the gym, hasn't he?
Yeah, drops Ty Crane or whatever his name is.
All day long. Well, that's all cheesy gear, but they're like...
It's right, though, yeah,
like,
I know.
That, I remember the coach we had, and he'd give it all. I definitely probably got it off from Coach Carter. All that, mate, yeah. But it was an experience, but for me, it was just like, I was 2 years into it. I was like, right, well, I want to be a golfer, and I don't think that's getting me there. And then when I was coming home, like, I'd come home in the summer and play S&A, and I'd struggle a bit because the courses were so different. And then you're playing links golf over here.
Yeah.
And in my head, I thought, right, if I come home, play all the time, do this and do that, I'll become a player type thing. So my dad agreed to let me come home. and he'll kind of fund me a little bit. Yeah. Not to the extent that he could, but can just let me go and play golf every day and give me dinner money, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
yeah,
try out that reason.
Yeah, so I did that.
That's that was it. There was a it's a 4-year programme, isn't it?
Yeah, four-year programme.
And then again, what you're saying there, you go out and you're playing golf every day, it's hard work, isn't it?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Do you know
it's
what I mean?
A full-time job, yeah.
It's harder than a full-time job, because a full-time job, you've got your itinerary, you know what you're doing.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the college guide, you'd have been done it
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, like I didn't realise, so when I left and I come back and I'm practising on my own, like you haven't got...
You're bored?
We had to be up at like 5 in the morning, to go for a run, you do this, and then you'd have your practice, everything was scheduled,
yeah.
So...
Yeah, that's what you need, though, isn't it?
You'd go up to the. I'd find myself going up to the golf course, hit a few balls, and then I'd be in the shop for half an hour chatting rubbish to one of the lads in the shop, and then you're wasting a bit of time.
Yeah.
Your structure goes, and then after about 6 months, like I was, what, I think it was 20, the lads are going out on the weekend for a drink or whatever, and then I didn't have any money because I didn't have a job,
yeah.
So I wanted to do that. So then I got a little part-time job of an evening to
That's when they talk about like all these like the golfers, you don't see the sacrifices. They're the sacrifices,
yeah.
Aren't they?
Yeah. Oh yeah, well like you only have to look at Tommy. Tommy was an investor
yeah.
At the time I was there, he'd be on hours on the putting green.
Yeah.
Like I'd go down, do a few hits on the practice ground, and do a few chippers.
And then, obviously been listening, nice.
And then I'd come back up after an hour and he's still in the putting green. Then I'd go and play a few holes, come back off 6 holes or whatever, he's still putting. Then I'd go and have a little with the steak baguette or something, a little bit of lunch, come back off, he's still at it. And then I'd like go and do something else, and then I'd think, what the hell, he's been on that putting green for 5 hours there.
Yeah,
what's he up to?
Yeah.
What's going on? But looking back now, it's like
that's what gets you.
That's kind of the drive and dedication
yeah.
That it takes, I guess.
Yeah.
But say I
sacrifice as well, because obviously, and then that night he's going home, going to bed, waking up and doing the same thing again. Whereas you've had your practice, you've done that, and it's like Friday, you think, oh, I have a few pints, I'll do this.
I worked hard this week.
Yeah.
That was my mindset, but then I didn't have any money to do that.
Yeah.
My dad was like, no, if you're not gonna do what you're doing, then. So I had to go and get a part-timer, which is great, but then it's not great because you've got the money then, and then after work you go for a pint.
Yeah.
So then but I realised that quite quick and said, you know what, I better do something else about this. And I didn't want to go down the PGA route still. I didn't want to teach. So I went back to Myersco to do the uni stuff. It was more because I was undecided.
I was still there.
Yeah, you were still there on your last year.
I'd totally give up golf at that point. I was just boring.
But that shows. I thought that was going to help me. I went and lived in. So then, anyway, I went through, did that. Got done the degree in 3 years, to be fair. So I must have been older than 21 when I started my PGA, mustn't I? So I must have been 23. So anyway, I'd done that. Then I got a job from it, which is great. Got a degree, got a job in the industry. Like, it was golf management degree, got a job in the industry.
Myersco is good though as well, because there's always jobs getting offered. Like, you can go and work in America or work in Dubai and do all these different things. There's opportunities to do both,
Myersco is massive. And do you know what? From that, I literally remember I finished Myersco and I finished on the Friday, started on the Monday working for Davia, big golf company, do you know what I mean? On a good job. I think it was probably up to like $30,000 a year job.
Yeah.
6 weeks into it, I hated it. I just hated it.
It
wasn't a golfer.
Right.
I was like, I'm not,
yeah.
I haven't done what I was trying to achieve. And I was kind of like, but I remember from that, on the weekends I was going and playing and I won a board comp at SNA.
Yeah.
Like in between working that job, I was like, do you know what? Just well.
Sorry about that.
Excuse me?
Pardon.
You cough for my board, can't cough
it. Oh no, that was meant to be. Your name's on the board.
My name's on the board.
I think Lachlan won that one a year after me as well. Yeah.
2007 mine was.
Anyway.
Well before you.
Right, that must have been when I was away. But so I thought, you know what? I'm working this job and I'm doing alright still. Come on, let's get back at it. But right, the only other option now is to do the PGA. So I weren't even going into the PGA wanting to teach. I was just going into it, so I thought that'll keep me in golf and being part of golf. So that was the kind of right, I'm doing that, made that move. But then so then the PGA then starting that's where it all just changed, like the whole mindset and everything just went a different way with things really.
Yeah, so what made you decide to take the teaching route rather than the playing route then? So you could have just you're at a handicap low enough to turn professional and then go and try it out on the smaller tours. what was the choice in going through the PGA teaching route into the educational side rather than just playing?
Again, like I was saying to you before, money and not being able to commit to doing that, I guess. You've got to be able to.
Money and sacrifice, isn't it?
Yeah, see now I'll look back and I've got like excuses and reasons and I'll say, well, you know, if I had this, if I had a rich dad, or if I had sponsorship, or if I had that. And at the time they were valid reasons, and probably for the last 10 years they've been valid reasons. It's only probably the last couple of years that I go, well, do you know what? The fact I had them reasons is why I never made it, or why I couldn't do it. You're giving yourself out, and I think now, if I could look back, if I actually...
Yeah, but that's just maturity
That's maturity as well, but at the same time, you could never have that mindset and be able to progress and just go fully into play, and I don't think
you... So what advice would you give if somebody's listening now and they're in the same boat as you were, just leaving high school, 15, 16 years of age, at a decent level at golf, and they're thinking of taking those certain routes? What advice would you give them from... things that you've learnt over the years?
Yeah, so from that, I'd say hard, isn't it? Because you're not as...
I'd just say one thing, if they're going to go to managed school, they need to go into the horse equine stable, get the blinkers, stick them on each side of their head, don't make any friends, and just go to
friends.
Range.
Friends are the problem.
Friends are the problem.
I managed to rope 3 months before going to the range at 5 o'clock every morning.
I remember getting committed.
And before, you just got to wore down. I mean, I had a bottle of cider in my hand, do you know what I mean? But no, in all seriousness, it was still good, because they've got, at managed school, they've got the tours, they've got everything, so... They offer you the tools to do it.
It's a runway, isn't it? It's a runway to be a professional.
It's what you make of it.
Yeah,
like,
of course. Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. Not friends is the problem.
Yeah. So we like the social side of it too much, don't we? Yeah. But no, advice that I could give to anyone is, say, it's easier now for me to kind of, in hindsight, but if you can kind of, you know, listen to what I'm saying and listen to other people at the time... blinkers on, in the sense that I wouldn't listen to other people. I just thought, right,
yeah.
I know, right, I want to do that,
yeah.
I want to do this, and you know, the grass is always green on the other side sometimes, which I experienced. Like, all right, America's where it's got to be, and then I was there, and while I was there I was like, oh, at home I could be doing this, you know. There's you've got to have more of a clear path of what you want to do, and whether it is becoming, say, I didn't want to be a teaching professional, I was a little bit unsure of what I wanted, but I just wanted to be involved in golf and wanted to be a player. But it's not as easy as that to be a player. I feel, you know, people listening will know there's so many good players out there.
Yeah.
And if you're even if you're the best player at that age, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're gonna be where you wanna be. So it's a tough one, that, but I would definitely say that, you know, through kind of people I teach and students I have, I'll kind of talk them through it, depending on what I feel that their kind of personality is and their level is.
Yeah, but you can only do that and steer them because of the way that the things that you've been through.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
do
yeah,
you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah.
If you know someone like wouldn't really benefit from my as well, you're thinking like...
Yeah, no, I'd definitely say. I've said to people in the past, don't bother. Yeah. And yet I've said to others, get to my as well. I've said to the parents, you know, yeah, they've asked me what advice, and I've said, look, that's the avenue for them. But you know, there's lads who are teaching now that I wouldn't even entertain telling them to go to America. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'd say, right, you've got to do this, just playing. You know, there's different...
But it's just like, to like big your golf and background up a little bit, that's gonna help people like understand when they're going to you that they're getting more out of it. They're getting, not just getting a coach, they're getting a coach with mad experience, you know what I mean? Like,
you can't buy that
time
of experience.
Going to my school, you've done them two routes, and then, like, for anyone, you're, like, parents bringing a child to you, like, one of my friends have said, like, they want to bring the kids to you, and then they don't really understand America and my school. So if they listen to this, they think, wow, Dave,
yeah.
I just see David as, like, Kevin's friend, but, like, really, he's been through all this, and he's got all this knowledge. He could steer my kid in the right direction, help him make big life choices in the future if he was any good at golf, do you know what I mean? It's a big plus.
Yeah, no,
you know what I mean?
Right, I can say, well, people ask me stuff, and I've got loads of answers for it, but I don't ever think about it until I'm asked it, do you know what I mean? So what you're saying is, yeah, it's really good. I've luckily had the chance to do a mix of everything in that sense, and then... You know, it's there, but then the next going back to the question is the PGA and what that entailed and the root of that.
Yeah.
That's where then like that all changed for me, that put me to where I am now. So the stuff before it was great because it both.
But it's just good that you've got all three. Yeah, isn't it? Do you know what I mean?
I've tasted, every little bit of it.
You don't have to look back and be like, oh, I regret not going to
because
you never tried it. I should have done this, I should have done that. You've had to go, you've tried, and then you've gone on this route. So, obviously, you went to college, minor school, we've spoken about that. You've also been to America, and then you decided to become a PGA teacher professional. So just talk us through the journey that takes. Like, is there an eligibility criteria sitting handy? Yeah. You've got a player. What's the application process to actually be accepted onto the course?
Are you thinking about it?
I'm going to think about it, yeah.
Do you know what? It all
depends on the handicap criteria for me.
I think it's actually changed a little bit, so it's a little bit easier now. So when I done it, you had to do a thing called the playing ability test, which was stress, really. I mean, like, it sounds easy, but when you put it on someone and actually put you in the position, I remember it thinking, oh, that's easy, that's not a bother. So at the time when I'd done it, say, I think it might have changed a little bit now, you had to play two rounds in one day, and you had to be less than 14 or over par. 14 over par.
In 36 holes?
In 36 holes.
I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm out. There's no way.
But, if you're off scratch, you'd be thinking, it's the pressures of this being here. So I remember I went to do it at a course in Bolton, and I was probably, I think I was like five over after nine holes, just like,
and then the pressure
is going on, and you're like,
I've only got nine shots left.
for the next 27. So when it was, the weather got really bad then, and it got like rained off, and I'm like sitting in there like, oh, I'm six over here, we're waiting to go back out, like, oh, what's going on, got rained off, and then ended up getting cancelled, then same again, like, it was, you say you started in the September, the October, I only decided to do it late, so it was like in the August or beginning of September, and there was only so many test dates left to do your playing ability.
I don't have to be at the Belfry,
no. No, so that's later that, so yeah. You have like regional ones, and I went to do the next one, got called off, literally got there, got called off. Like, well, there's no more left to add on to. So then they were like, oh, what's happening? Like, and where I was working at the time, as an assistant, he took me on based on if I got my PGA and started that. He'd been through the PGA and was like linked to them and said, look, we'll host it at our venue, at a place where I worked in Chester. We'll actually host an event. We'll be able to, we're not that wet, we'll have it. And they had, a group of lads, 40, 50 lads come and do the playing ability test there, literally like a week before you started the PGA. So if you failed that, there was no more to go on to, and you had to wait a full year before you could do it.
Wow, that's more pressure.
And I'd been working the shop with like all the members and all that type of
and
stuff.
You think that would help with that pressure,
he was helping me out because I wouldn't have had another opportunity, I'd have to wait a year, but yeah. It was hard going. Like,
and did you have the members coming around watching as well?
Yeah, there was loads of it. Like, wow. It was horrible. But the first round, I remember it was so nerve-wracking. And I shot one under. And it was just like the whole, everything just drained out of me.
15 shots, you 15
yeah,
over
yeah, 15 and 18 holes, yeah. You don't deserve your place if you're shooting 16 yeah. over it.
On shot one under, so then the next round, I just had no worries. I was like, I can shoot 14 over it, it was hard. Anyway, the lad I played with shot like 8 over in the first round, playing with me. Good player, and then I spent the whole round trying to coax him through. So I just feel like it was horrible. I had his nerves.
No.
Oh, it was horrible.
Yeah, because you sort of cemented your place by doing so well.
Yeah.
So but you haven't cemented it, though, really.
No, yeah, I haven't. It actually put me off being worried.
I shot
like level or one under again without even worrying. Do you know what I mean? But and he just got in on the bubble, right? But there was a lad behind us, and he had a job cemented in Dubai as an assistant, but he had to get his thing to do it.
Wow.
And the last hole was a par 3, and he could have bogeyed the last. It was only a wedge. It was like 130 or whatever. And he's literally missed the green, put in the bunker, like chopped it out, and he had a 2-putt to get his PGA qualification, and that started.
Shit myself.
I hope he made
the 2-putt. And he's knocked the putt up about 4 foot short, and I'm we're all watching, like, standing there, and then he's knocked the next one up and left it like in the jaws.
Oh, And he made the five.
Made a five.
Couldn't go to Dubai.
Like his job was based on. I don't know actually what happened, but he couldn't start the PGA. So his job was based on him being able to start the PGA and turn pro.
No, he couldn't do it.
And there was no time left to do it again. So that was that. So that just shows the pressure that was on.
That's it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? He had a job lined up in Dubai. And that could have ruined his, you know,
two putts for the
day. Maybe one of your fans listening now.
Get in touch if you have.
But, you know, that's the type of, that's the pressure it was. And luckily, I got through it. And, you know, after that, it was great because it was like, you know what it's like, especially you, Mark, when we used to think about SNA, point ones were horrible, weren't they?
Oh.
But that moment, I got the letter from the PGA that you're a pro and your handicap's like no more. It was like, yeah. You never have to worry about
going. Point ones are horrible, mate.
You won't even play.
Obviously, everyone who tuned in last week heard me say, I am going to be lower than you, Mark, by the end of this, the summer, by the end when the season finishes.
Well, of course, and now, said, when you've got special exemptions on your handicap, you're shooting net 74s and coming down two shots. Making an investigation.
And he said, you're going to have to come and catch me, mate, because I'm not playing. Then he comes.
Yeah. And now you are 0.4 behind me now.
Yeah.
To play in a comp next week.
Yeah, 0.3.
See, that's where the new world handicap system is. Scary, mate. You can go up like three shots in one go. No, but anyway, so yeah, but that was pressure and stuff. But now I don't think it's as bad. I think if you're off lower, you don't have to do a playing ability. You just have to have like a proof that you've been off lower for so long. And the criteria isn't as hard now.
No playing ability.
I don't think you do. No, I think no? it's. I think the playing ability is gone now. It is a little bit easier. But you know what? It's right. It's better in the sense that now, at the time, I was a decent player and thought if you can't shoot that, then you shouldn't be able to go through that route. But you probably should. But you know, as long as you've got a good handicap and you've proved it for a period of time, but under that pressure, you could easily have, buckled under the pressure and not shot it and thought, right, and that could have changed, my career. If I didn't get that, I could have just, swerve golf then.
You could have done a Martin Kev.
Yeah. Mate, I think there should be a fucking playing ability test before you even step onto a golf course in general life, just to be reintroduced. If you can't hit the ball, you're not playing it. Because have you seen them people
fuming? You've just been talking 5 minutes ago about getting people into golf and how easy.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, but get them into it,
away from you, not playing away from you.
Yeah.
But if you have a pathway of, you have to have proved, it's like driving, so if you haven't had any lessons,
you go for your test.
If you've got a pathway that, right, I've got, there's a booklet where, right, okay, you've got to do 12 lessons before you then do this.
Right,
and do that.
But that is so right, though.
From playing ability, I don't think so. Because how are you ever going to get better unless you're playing on the course? I get it from like a course etiquette type where like don't roll your.
In your crash course of lessons, you go and you learn all the theory of your clutch and your brake, don't you? And they tell you what to do while you're sitting there. And then you start driving, you don't just get in on the main road and start going and start stalling. Yeah.
But is that not
going to
put people off, though?
It's
a wrong mindset.
It's going to put people off, isn't it?
The mindset, though, if you come to me, luckily the people who actually come without picking up a golf club, which is great, but people are scared too, I'll give them the foundations. And then they've got them. And then they can crack on quicker. Whereas the people who don't do that come back a year later, struggling, chopping it round, or with people waiting behind me.
Yeah, and I wouldn't put them off at all, because it actually, if they go and learn a little bit of like, look, you need to hit the ball and go, and then David would probably say to them, I'm playing Formula One, we made it to the weekend.
Yeah.
And then David's like, you're not at that level just yet. Okay. Just hang on a minute.
Right, yeah, I get what you're saying. So you need to get the foundations
right. You need
right
to know
first.
What you're doing
yeah.
first, where the steering yeah. wheel is, where the gear stick is, before you get stuck on the main road and hold up people who've been driving for years.
Yeah.
Okay. In the same way, there should be a little, that should be the law, that.
I'm with it.
Statement. That should be the law.
You'll get a license to play golf.
Yeah, you should have a license to play golf.
You'll be the first man to fume when you have to pay 15 quid for your license.
I've got my license.
You pay your EGU fee, don't you? That's my license.
You can feel next year until you get yours to coffee.
You talk about the criteria. So obviously you've shot 2 under, 1 under through those 2 rounds. Yeah. You've been accepted. You start the course. So what? What was the benefits to you? So obviously you have a certain philosophy with your teaching now. So talk us through that and how the PGA course has helped you and any additional things that you've done outside of the course to get you to where you are now for your teaching style as such.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah, that's perfect. I mean, in the sense that, so when I said before, once I started the PGA, it changed everything, it really did. So once I've done that playing ability, once you're there, you then, the process then is, you've got a 3-year course to do, which is the PGA course, to become a PGA qualified professional. So you've got to then, you know, it's kind of, it's like a degree. Well, it is a degree, actually.
It's at Birmingham Uni, is it?
Yeah, so it's based at Birmingham University, but you have to go to what they call a residential at the Belfry.
Yeah.
So it's a 3-year course. In that 3 years, you have to go for 1 week a year. It's a full week. So you're in there the whole week. And then outside that, it's all online stuff. So you don't have to go to Birmingham Uni. You just go to the Belfry.
Okay.
So you have a residential week. Once a year for the 3 years.
Sounds boss.
But,
yeah, it's great. But
that's being the Belfry, there's a nightclub and all that.
Yeah.
Probably a good job, it's only a week.
Yeah.
But the good thing about it is, like, for me anyway, so I went there, you know, scratch golf, I think, and I knew everything about the game. Like, I probably gave lessons to people, you know, mates and uncles or whatever. And I remember going there to the academy and you go in a classroom and it's like, wait, classroom, I thought it'd be on the range here, but anyway, we're in a classroom. I remember it must have been 20 minutes in to the first session on the Monday, and I was like, oh my god, how have I got where I am? I just don't know how I have got to be a decent golfer and being able to think I knew a lot about golf when I didn't know anything, basically.
So first 20 minutes was a shock to the system, yeah.
So then imagine that after the first week, I was just like, oh my god, like half the stuff we've went through here is either the opposite to what I thought was right in the golf swing and how to play golf and what you should do, or was completely, not the opposite, the stuff that I've been doing was just totally wrong.
So bearing that in mind then, if you've had that information that you learned, say for the first week, 6 weeks, whatever, where you got those foundations from a teaching perspective, how do you think they would have helped you early on in your career?
Oh, massively, mate, yeah. So now, like what we're talking about, my teaching philosophy, you know, going through the PGA was great, and I learned kind of all the main foundations of the golf swing, which, you know, I've been to many different pros, and good pros, you know, all, you know, good reputations and things like that, and learned things, but I never actually learned what was going on. So I'd be told, you know, change your ball position or change that, do that, and it'd fix it. I did it better. Yeah. It's not a fix, but I did it better. So assumingly, great, good lesson. It's worked. But then 6 months down the line, it wasn't working anymore. So it didn't make sense to me back then. But now it makes sense in the fact that I know how things work. So my teaching philosophy is when I'm teaching someone, I won't tell them what to do. I say, like, change that, do that. I'll explain to them why they're doing it wrong, what that's creating, the shot it creates, and then how, when they fix it, you know, how it works,
yeah.
Rather than just tell them to change this and change that. There's so many people now are more into the knowledge of golf, but yet they still don't know, you know, the hows and the whys of it,
yeah.
Which I think...
But don't some people keep that away from people?
Yeah, well, yeah, maybe. So it's hard now, as I've... Because I was never wanting to teach, I never really assessed it, and I had plenty of lessons growing up off, you know, different levels and different teachers and playing county stuff, and you got teachers that were this and that, and just totally respected, and I say it's no discredit to them now, but I do think back and think, well, why wasn't I given that information? And there's plenty of people who come to me for a lesson now, and they've had lessons before, and I tell them something that's very basic, fundamental stuff, and they've never heard it before, which is worrying for the fact that, you know, is that being held back or is it, you know, I don't know.
So when you went to this thing at the Belfry, are they then just hearing this information for the first time?
A lot of it, yeah.
So is that from a textbook though? Like the way...
A lot of, yeah, I mean, yeah. I've still got my PGA manual.
That's really, so it's from a manual,
which
like
is,
the way school
which
is.
Which is literally, yeah, which has literally got a lot of
so
stuff
then, so
in.
Every pro that you would go to would have been through this, like,
yeah,
this
yeah.
So they know
they
information.
Should have had that, yeah, yeah. So, you know, every...
So it must be that the other pros are just not... giving it to people, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's then how you deliver it.
Different styles, yeah.
Style, yeah. It's different style, yeah. So that's what I've made sure for me, teaching, is that I ensure that I think back to what I went through and think how I would have liked to have been told it and how I would have liked to have known, rather than just telling me to change this or change that, explain to me why, how it will work, and if it then stops working, what the one, two or three reasons that could be why it's not working.
Yeah, so you're not telling them, you're not just telling them what to do, you're telling them what to do, but you're also teaching them why they're doing that and how that's going
to
help.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to essentially teach someone to be able to, when they're on their own, identify what's going on without coming to me again.
But then again, it all, I've noticed we're going for lessons with you as well. Like I've had one and I'll be ripping it and I'll be thinking lovely, and I'll wait 6 months and I'll have another one, or I'll wait a year and I'll have another one, and then 2 years later we're back to the first lesson, because you're like, you haven't grown in your swing. So now I've took that thing on board, I've moved to like the next level. So it's all a building process really, isn't it? That's a good delivery. Like what I would take from it is, if you say, look, this is a building process, we're working on this and we're going to go forward, but the work has to be put in by the students.
It's always the way, definitely.
You've got to get the foundation and build on it. Say loads, I'll have people who do it and then they crack on, and a year later they've smashed it. Well, I'll have people who do it, then they'll go on to something else, and then a year later they come back and go, we need to go back to this.
That's me.
And you're a good example of it,
Because I literally said, I remember...
Doesn't turn up for his next lesson.
I remember turning up and going to David, so why have you ever told me this before? And he goes, mate, I've been telling you this for 2.5 years. I'm like, okay, sorry, Dad.
But the PGA gives you that. And then there's a lot of different things in golf, you know, there's different theories and different coaches. And what I like to do is kind of take them on board and then take pieces out that I feel, you know, either good for myself or then good to teach people with. There's certain things or certain methods that...
Courses for courses.
Yeah, there's certain methods that may work, but yet they're hard for consistency or hard to get. So for the type of person you're teaching, aren't always appropriate. So that's why YouTube and everything's great, but yet it can be a hindrance because people are trying to do something that doesn't suit their ability level, so they won't be able to do it. Or they're looking at how to fix a slice when there's not just one reason for us. Do you know what I mean?
I know myself, I've been on, I'm saying, I'm slicing the ball, and you're like, let me see. And you're like, that's not a slice.
It's a block.
And you're like, I could have been, or the average golfer could have been, how do I fix a slice because it's going right? But it's not even a slice.
Yeah.
So it's like, I think
the perfect example for like what the PGA gave me and how to be able to identify and learn is one of the exams, whether it was the final exam, whatever, going through, I remember it, was literally a ball flight. So you'd see a ball fly, like the way it went, shape, trajectory, everything, but you wouldn't see the golf swing. So you'd have to identify, it was like kind of forensics after a murder's been committed, you'd have to identify what caused the ball flight. And from everything they teach and how you learn and all the different impact factors on a golf ball,
do you get the spin rate or that sort of stuff?
I can't remember if you got the spin rate as such, but it was more the trajectory and the curvature.
Yeah.
So, you must have got speed, swing speed, yeah, you did, you got swing speed, you got everything there, but you could, when I went back to before I started the PGA, I would have laughed and went, I don't know what's going on, by a ball flight. Once I knew everything and kind of learned and got all the things that I need to know, then that wasn't a tough exam. It was like, well, that's being caused by this, this, and this. That's right, like, someone will come for a lesson, and they won't even hit a ball, and they'll start telling me, you know, what the struggles are, and then I'll go, and you do this, and you do this, and that. Yeah, I do know that. I'm like, okay, yeah. And before I've even seen them hit a ball, I've got a good idea of exactly what they're doing.
Yeah.
And sure enough, like, sometimes, not without being cocky, I've said to them, like, I'm pretty sure. You're gonna be doing this, and they're like, "All right, okay." And then we'll have a look, and sure enough, they are. And then the shock that, "Wow, I didn't think I did that." That's where video is great, but just the knowledge of kind of being able to assess that stuff and then give people that knowledge, I think, is the biggest thing.
Yeah.
And that's what I always try and do. Sometimes people say to me, "Oh, well, if you're giving them all that knowledge, then they might not come back for lessons because they're sorted." I'm like, "Well, isn't that the goal? Do you know what I mean? If you,
yeah,
if they can then do that,
the next crop will come along.
They'll tell people that.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter what they know. They could think they're doing what they're doing until they see it with their own eyes, and they like I mentioned last week, I went to you, didn't I? And my feet were wider than my shoulders.
Yeah.
And like, it's like I would have totally not. I would have thought I was. And my ball position was way back. I thought I was doing exactly what you told me.
My lesson with Dave that I had a couple of weeks ago. I thought I was in the middle of my stance. I was hitting my pitching wedge off my front toe.
Do you know what I mean?
To me, I'm thinking, but it's like even when you're playing with somebody, you think you're aiming down the middle, and they go, you're aiming way right there, and you go, no way, and you adjust your body, and in your head, you're aiming so far left.
Yeah,
and
I
it's
know.
Just it's
oh, yeah. You're in a bit of a bubble in your golf swing. I mean, you can't. The actual feel and perception can be so far away, and you know, I think with Kev, with you, we've looked at where your shoulders are and stuff, and you're like, no way, and then we'll take a picture or put something there. I'm like, why is my shoulder so far open? And then when you square them off, they feel closed.
Yeah.
It's because, you know, obviously you've been doing it a long time, and once you know it then.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So I think the biggest thing for me is that it doesn't annoy me, but there's a young lad I'm teaching right now, he's 17, he's really good. I'm trying to impart my knowledge now onto him as if it was when I was there, you know, that age.
Yeah.
So everything, I feel like I would have known all this back then, I would have had a better chance, do you know what I mean, to be a better player.
Want to give him my experience.
Now I have more, I teach, so I'm not playing, but I think, if I had the brain I've got now in there with the knowledge, it would have been...
I wish that I knew what I know now.
They've put the foils on St Andrews and he's hitting shots. And they're going where they go now.
Obviously not a tiger fan.
Yeah, I think, sorry if I waffled on about my
phone. No, it's good.
That's right, that's what he is.
Yes, I mean, I suppose the good
thing
about...
I'm not here for my singing, that, but here for your whole philosophy, that's why
we're here. Yeah, but that's the way I teach. And again, just a conversation like there, you didn't even have to hit the golf ball. And I know, straight away, when you say you're feeling, it felt like I was getting steep. I know that you weren't getting steep because I know the positions that you're in.
Yeah.
But feelings are perception, so if you read something or go with something that you feel, it's not always going to help you. It may help... You know, quickly,
long wins, term.
But it's like you can't get
so what you're saying. What you're saying is that even though I'm ripping it now, that's not gonna happen forever, no.
Yeah, that's honestly. I said to Dave, I was like, I was ripping it last week, and he's like, yeah, but you were getting away with it.
Yeah.
You were doing things that you know to fix it. You were widening your stance and getting hitting down on it because you know you need to strike.
Yeah.
You told me you need to take a divot, so I'm like, yeah, and then I've progressively moved the ball back in my stance, so I'm hitting the ball first. But me divot, and I'm taking a divot, so I think I'm playing well. But then he's looked at him and went, no, it's totally wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
Problem is, so many anomalies, mate. I'll get people coming for a lesson, first lesson. I've been terrible and terrible. Okay. And you start ripping it. To them, ripping it. Oh, no, it's good. And like, oh, why is this happening now? I've been terrible. And I can still see
the problems. You always talk about ripping on the range, though, don't you?
Yeah. I can still see the problems. And I say, don't worry, it's fine. And I'll show them. And I'll say to them, right, you're hitting it okay now. I said, but I bet you're hitting poles or thins and at worst with your long irons, tops. How do you know that? And then I'll explain it to them. They go, that makes sense.
Yeah.
You can. The problem with golf is you can't time, you know, faults and time it and make it work. You know, you could stand there with your legs crossed and, you know, swing it all wrists and still hit a shot and make it work.
Catch it, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You've got your old boys who knock it round and get by.
Yeah.
But if you know, it depends where you want to get with your game, but if you want to be consistent, which is what everyone comes and asks for.
You just want to be competitive, don't you? Whether it's a society or a junior comp, a senior comp, or one of the biggest amateur tournaments that are out there.
You'd like
just want to be able to compete, don't you?
Well, as well, like if You can go out there, you compete, and you don't even have to have a lesson. You can do what you want, go out there, and you can knock it round with your friends. But if you want to be a better version of what you are at the minute,
that's it,
yeah. Going to get lessons and looking at yourself and going the range and putting a bit of practice in. Not even much practice, 100, 200 balls.
Oh, yeah.
You can embed a swing change, and it makes a difference going forward for the rest of your life.
I missed it out before when I used to go to them residentials. We'd get to play golf afterwards, but you'd not much. You're in class till 5, and you'd go out with all stuff from the day, hitting it better.
Yeah.
Because I had thoughts, and I was like, I've just learned that. So, and I'd be like, just the knowledge of it, and implementing it. It was sometimes wasn't, you know, rocket science, wasn't hard stuff. Straight away, I'd be like, oh my God. Like, how much difference is that making just off kind of a little bit of knowledge that I didn't have?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So that's why I just think...
Knowledge is power.
Yeah, no, all day, mate. All day long. But, yeah, it's just getting the right knowledge for you and, you know, taking it in small doses rather than trying to, you know, if you go and read The Golf Machine, you know, if you're not 15...
Manual.
Yeah, you know, I'll get people coming to me trying to do this and I'm like, look... You're just not there. That's not where you need to be looking at. You haven't got the basic fundamentals right.
Yeah.
So why are you trying to crawl
before you can walk?
So-and-so's thing off YouTube.
It's right though, isn't it? You've got to like crawl before you walk or start. You've got to start. And you've got to, like, I know a few people out there who are like 6-7 handicappers and like, they won't get a lesson or they won't be told.
Yeah.
What's wrong in that, because like you won't take a step, because you need to, like, getting a lesson and getting told to change, you need to take a step back.
Yeah.
And they won't do it.
I've had people they're doing this or they're doing that, and you tell them, no, I'm not. And luckily now, as a modern PGA pro, we've got video.
Yeah.
And you go, yeah, well, and you'll show them, I don't do that. And I go, that's you on the video, right?
Yeah.
It takes them a little bit to, and then they go, wow. I would have thought I was into out rather than out to win. No way I ever thought I was doing that. But yeah, then they see it and then they can start to, you know, address it. Whereas if they go on YouTube thinking they're doing the opposite, getting the other stuff, it's only enhancing the problem.
Yeah. 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 It's all going on for you once you get back there. You can feel you're doing that and you're over there.
Yeah.
Golf's a mad one,
isn't it? It is.
No backswing, is it?
But yeah, so but from that way, that changed it for me. The PGA kind of enlightened my kind of mind to go, right, I enjoy this, teaching is good.
Yeah.
And, you know, while I was doing the PGA, I was working at Formby Hall and teaching at the same time, and everything I was learning, I was seeing, and I was like, wow, this is crazy. I've never been able to see this stuff so easily, and it's basic stuff. And then, you know, as I went with it and, you know, got fully, so you go through the 3 years, you go through your final exams, you know, they're quite stressful, don't get me wrong, the PGA, if anyone's thinking of doing it.
No, basically, if anyone's going to become any sort of profession, it just seems like loads and loads of work, like loads of college work, loads of exams, loads of English essays.
But in this sense of that direction,
like we said earlier, I was doing English, maths, blah, blah, with the PGA, I was actually doing it to become a swing teaching professional, so it had a purpose where I wasn't doing English, doing this, doing that. So like a joiner, then once you finish your joiner's apprenticeship, you should be able to go, you know, build a wardrobe quite easily. So for me, it led me to being able to give a lesson, and, you know, anything that I see swing wise I can identify because I've got the knowledge and the tools.
No, it's quality.
So, if anyone's kind of thinking of that route, definitely it changed my life and my perception of just golf as a whole, how it works, because up to the age of 21 or 22, whenever I started it, I thought I knew a lot about golf, when really, I didn't know.
And in another podcast, we're going to do a myth debunking session with you, aren't we?
Oh, yeah. Well, there's all the stuff that I thought I knew, there's plenty of them.
I've got a bit of outside topic question. Who's the best golf you ever played with?
Best golfer
apart from me.
Back from Kerr, yeah. Kerr has bombs, doesn't he?
Thinks he does.
Best goal. I mean, obviously, played with Tommy Fleetwood's, you know, top 10 in the world or whatever he is, they're top 12 now. So, playing with him, you'd have to say him because he's got the
stuff of course.
Right. So, you know, you couldn't go anywhere from that. But over the years, you get to play with some players, and you do get wild. Even, you know, there's players I've played with over, like, in America, college golf, that I was just, like, in awe of. But, yeah, they probably don't even play golf no more.
That's what I'm saying, but back then, yeah. Like the level they were at, to when like, you're thinking that if they're a bit younger, with the level that, to when you play with Tommy, he might have been further ahead in his career, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so they
yeah.
can, if they excel from there to the, when Tommy's age now, and it's all relative, innit?
Yeah, I mean, do you know what though, at the same time, it's I've played with renowned great golfers and they've played awful.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
You know, and same for me, I've probably played with people and chopped it round and they went, what the hell, he's not a big
golfer. Because
is
he a pro, isn't
he? You know what I mean? Yeah, if I'd have played with, you know, one of my lucky days and I've shot 500, what the hell, he's a good player. It's one of them, isn't it? But
what is the lowest round you've had?
Lowest round in competition or none? I'm not going to Kevin.
Give us both.
So I've had a 59 round for me all.
Yeah.
Kev was witness. But,
I was there.
It was winter and it was like the big bucket holes and that.
Forward
so,
tees.
Forward, oh yeah, it was. I mean, to put the 59 into context, Kev had a 64, I think. So, so
more like 76 then.
I wouldn't have brought that. 86. I wouldn't have brought that up if Kev wasn't here, to be fair. No, so in tournament
play... You're still going to get the ball in the hole.
I was
going to
say,
18,
don't discredit yourself, yeah. 18 holes.
That's the best day of my life.
No, I'm not. It was done, wasn't it? But, yeah. So I'll claim about the 59 months. Probably I'd say 7 under, I think, is in tournament play. It's the best I've ever shot, but that's like... That's really good. Don't, I hope people aren't listening, oh, you can shoot 7 under all the time. That doesn't happen. But
that's
it, but
like,
no, yeah,
you know, but Justin Johnson, he's 30 under 1 week and he was 54.
Do you know what,
the last week.
What I would say, what Kevin was talking about there before about standard scratches and stuff before we all, the best I've ever had, and I'm trying to big myself up, was I won the Birkdale Junior Open and shot level.
Remember that?
And that was probably the best thing I've ever done in terms of, it was hard.
It was
so hard, like it was windy,
yeah,
it was horrible.
Yeah.
The standard scratch on the day was like 78 or 79.
Yeah.
So that's 6 or 7, like, but it was well harder than shooting.
Like
under
your
par.
Best,
yeah.
So not your,
yeah.
Like your best score and your best round are totally different.
Yeah,
they?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Score.
Like your best score, you're
yeah.
flowing, you're
yeah.
sun's out, you shoot 500, or
yeah.
your best score was your grind,
yeah.
that was a level in the hoolie.
Yeah,
you know
yeah.
Know
yeah.
Mean?
So that.
Just, all you have to do is look at the last two tournaments. You look at the, like you mentioned there, the Northern Trust. DJ goes out and shoots 30 under,
yeah.
and then he plays next week. He's still playing 18 holes on a golf course, but the difficulty of that course,
I mean,
that turns that 30 under into
DJ
one.
To shoot, say, yeah, a 70 round Augusta in a tough condition to shoot in the 30 under for the week. It's not doesn't
no,
you can't
it's
compare,
so many variables, isn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you might have played as well shooting level at Birkdale as you did when you shot the 59 at Formby-O.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. The variables, like the greens,
yeah.
the holes, winter, the weather.
See, that's where, when I've listened to your podcasts so far, with your stats and your fairways and your this, and you're building the perfect golfer. For me, you need to incorporate percentages to money's earned too. You know, you're looking at, like, who's you looking at? Doc Redmond.
Did we invite Dave on to go to the podcast? Or
that's all I think shit,
though. That's all I'm
about to speak to. No, we this bit.
This should help, Kev, because you're Mr. Statman. But them...
obviously, I'm not very good.
You should look at them stats and go, right, okay, great, but how many times does the man who has, you know, 70% greens hit, how many times is he winning? How many money's... What's his money earned?
Yeah, that's why we've got different people
yeah,
to do that. Rest of it for
he's us. Just hitting the T-shots, mate. The mentality comes later on when we've got someone, like... Tiger's mentality with Doc Redman off the tee with JT.
Yeah,
and
no, what I'm saying is he might be hitting 70. Don't forget the mentality. If he's hitting 70 odd percenters, so if you go back to Tiger and his pump, what fairways was he hitting?
When?
Back in his pump when he was winning loads. Tiger didn't hit 70% of fairways. I bet he didn't.
No, but then Tiger
hit
every shot.
The next shot. That's what I mean. But so just by hitting that many fairways isn't necessarily, like Kev argues, oh, you can bust it out the rough. Yeah, of course you can. You can play out the rough, you can do it. So I don't necessarily think, I think you need to hit it a certain
distance. Yeah, he's building the stack off
it. Yeah, so that's the problem. I think, start, like, I'd go more Kev's way with it, rather than statistics.
Well, we did throw it out there to say, anyone on the socials wants to get involved in the Perfect Golf, and we haven't seen you pipe up, to be honest, so...
Exactly, yeah.
You
played
it to the big stage, the Commonwealth Levels.
Well, to be fair, I've only just listened to them, to be honest, to catch you up before
oh
I came on.
Oh, my God.
I'm a fan now, aren't I? But do you know what I mean? Don't you?
Yeah,
like
yeah, definitely.
If you're, it's no good being top of the whatever every week and not getting any help.
We look forward to reading what you're going to send in to us.
Yeah,
Can't wait to see Dave's perfect golf app.
I
called you Dave on purpose then for ripping me golf. No, but look, if anyone's got any, it's a great insight what you give us there, David. It's, if anyone's got any questions for David, write in on the socials. You've got your own Instagram page. We'll be tagging
Instagram,
that.
Twitter, yeah.
We'll be tagging those in our posts. And I say, if you've got any questions, Dave's more than willing to answer those, aren't you?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'd say anytime. I'm welcome back again onto the air.
You wasn't
no,
for the last 10
minutes.
This
is a one time thing. This is a one time
thing. You won't be getting involved in the perfect golf, I'll tell you that much. Oh, so we hope you've enjoyed that insight there.
Yeah.
We'll be back in a couple of days' time. We're going to do a review of the
Tour Championship.
Tour Championship. Yeah, as we're recording this, the final day of the Tour Championship is on.
It's on there, no?
So, yeah, we'll be talking about that. We'll be doing the regular birdie bogey bust. We'll be doing our perfect golfer that David doesn't like.
No, not at all. I just think you've got to think about it a little bit more.
Yeah.
Well, you're Doc Redmond's.
We're here to grow and learn, though, aren't we?
That's it. We always said, your feedback's welcome. It mightn't be liked, but it's welcome.
Yeah.
So, yeah, until next time, we shall see you soon.
Ciao.
Cheers, lads.